go said amen. All right, so let me just speak to you. This morning, I thought, I have a very fatherly message this morning. So I'm not a pope, but I do want to step into that kind of fatherly role this morning and just talk to us as believers. And how many of you know this world's crazy? How many of you know this world, we have, it's a different time. It's a different kind of time. Maybe some of you who are in your 20s, maybe you just were born into this and a lot of this is normal to you. Some of us older people, we're like in a little bit of whiplash of what's going on. Can we just acknowledge that for one another? Right? So, but here's some truths. We are called to be different. We are called to be different. We are called the people of God. Like when God told the people of God, when he called people to the children of Israel, that I'm about to send you into a nation that you don't know about. And whenever you go there, I want you to be different. The temptation is going to be that you're going to go in there and you're going to assimilate into that group of people. And God says, no, let me show you the law. So he presents the law. He gives them the law. That's the purpose of the law. Was, hey, you're different. God says, you're my people, right? Called by my name. And so when I got saved, we used the word like, I went to a Christian high school for a couple of years. And we were told that, don't be worldly. Don't be worldly. How many of y'all grew up in your denomination? Maybe many of you Baptists. Don't be worldly. Don't be worldly. Right? But not picking on Baptists, but it was just generally the idea. Like, so what that meant was that guys can't have long hair back in that day, right? And girls don't have short hair. And don't listen to secular music at all. Right? Don't watch movies. Don't cuss, don't drink, right? And so it's a list of the don'ts, right? And so let me just say, many of those things have merit, right? So, but when God talks about not being worldly, it's a bigger deal than just those things. We are called to think different, act different. The way we process things is different. The way the kingdom works is, we say this, to be in the world, but not of the world, right? So let me just give you, actually, I was talking to a church member and we're talking about some issues and we were talking about what this actually kind of looks like. So let's say this is Father's Day. Fathers, you're in a grilling club, right? You're a club for grillers. You go to your grilling meetings, right? You go to your grilling meeting, you talk about grilling. Man, I'm probably making some people hungry. You talk about what charcoal to use. Do you use gas? Is that okay? Do you use charcoal? They heard the booze. Do you use pellets? Praise the Lord. That's another. You got some opinions in here this morning. It's called slot. I'll take it. All right. Do you brine or do you marinate, right? Do you use a dry rub, right? What temperature are you really supposed to take the chicken off the grill? So that club, right, exists to make you a better griller, right? But what if somebody comes into your club and says, you know what? I have a pin collecting club. And I want to come into your club. And I want to make your club a mix of grilling club and pin collecting club. And all the men in this room would go, no, this is a grilling club. We have the things that we do. We grill. We don't allow, like, you can't come in here and make our grilling club a pin collecting club. That's not happening. Right? We are the grilling club. We have our own bylaws. We have the way things are done. We even take up dues. There's a way things are done. And so don't bring your pen collecting club and try to make our grilling club your pen collecting club. That's a great analogy for the way the church is. We are called to be different. Don't bring your stuff over from the world and come into the church, to the body of Christ, to be a Christian and say, well, we're going to add this to your... No. We already have our bylaws. We already have the things that we're governed by. We do what we're supposed to do, right? And then maybe if one of your pen says grillers are the best, maybe I'll take that pen and I'll put it on my grill. But that's it. If it lines with our bylaws. We're Christians. And there's a way Christians do things. We have our bylaws. We have our conduct standards. Christians have a way we do things, and it's drastically different than the pen collecting club. It's drastically different than the other clubs that are out there, we'll just say. Christians are different, and it's more than just the few moral things that we like to attach. We're called to live a completely different lifestyle. It's more than just a moral code. Do we hear that, church? It's more than just a moral code. We have a relationship with God through Jesus. We live, hear this, we live and move and have our being in Him. We love God, and we desire to live a life that pleases Him. We live and move by His strength. We believe that in Him, that He gives us the power to walk in newness of life. We need to make sure, this is my opening statement, we need to make sure that the ways of the other way, other clubs, don't become our ways. Amen? So one of the ways that I want to really talk about, because I think that this way that I'm going to talk about this morning, this way of our club, if you will, it will help us keep all the other things outside and protect what we call and we have value in, right? Jeremiah 17, starting in verse 5. This is Jeremiah, the prophet. He says this. He said, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the person who trusts in mankind. He makes human flesh his strength. His heart turns from the Lord. He will be like a juniper in Arabah. He cannot see when good comes, but he dwells in parched places in the wilderness, and in salt where no one lives. The person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is indeed in the Lord, hear that? Whose confidence is indeed in the Lord, is blessed. He will be like a tree planted by the water. He sends its roots out toward the stream. Hear that? That'll make sense in a minute. He does not fear when the heat comes, and his foliage remains green. It will not worry in a time of drought or cease producing fruit. There is a place, guys, listen, there's a place in God where we find our strength and we connect with God. We find, listen, our resources in Him. Notice that that tree is not void of trouble. Notice that tree is not void of trouble. But actually, the idea here is that even though that tree is suffering heat or drought, it's not going to affect it. Matter of fact, it's still going to produce fruit. It's still going to produce fruit because where it's tapped into and where its trust is in. So it still flourishes in tough times. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you flourishing where you are right now? Or are you depleted of your resources? We've been talking about the soil and the states of our heart. And we talk about the seeds that are passed along in the gravel, right? In the thin soil. Which I believe, let me just look nowhere, is a lot of the body of Christ is in the thin soil. Because the roots, they're rooted, they're like, yeah. But the roots go down and there's no more nutrients because the rest of it's rock. Remember Julie's analogy and her picture? And so in tough times, there's not the roots that go down deep. Right? So when we talk about like, so here's the danger. Here's the danger of like messages like the good soil, especially if you've been in church a long time. The good soil and the, you're like, yeah, man, those people. Those people, man, they got, that's why. You're like, you can be like, you know those pastors that are getting all in trouble? See, I told you. That's what that's all about. Those people who are deconstructing their faith and are walking away? See, they didn't have their roots deep. They didn't. But what about us? See, this gets real preachy. And then we're like, yeah, go, pastor. Preach it. Yeah, I believe it. I believe it just that way. Right? See, it can be just preach. But the truth is like, honestly, listen, this is why some of you like the way I preach so much. It's because I get very practical. And I stay out of the ethereal. You know why? Because what has the ethereal ever done for you? Those are great ideas. Right? But it's what we do. James is full of this idea. Like, he goes, because there's a big argument, faith and works, right? James is very clear. If you don't have works, I don't know what your faith is. It's in the doing, right? So where do we find our strengths? Not your neighbor. Where do you find your strength? And let me just say, right, in this, there's a lot of things that are cause for discouragement and disappointment. And what are we going to do? Many of us are overwhelmed. We're disappointed and discouraged. So listen, some people in this room, and some people that we are around, and the people that we know, are one more disappointment from complete collapse. That's where our people are today. So one more setback, and I'm giving up. I think we've all have felt that. I can't imagine one more thing. One more thing goes wrong. You know what businesses are booming right now? Counselors. You know how hard it is to get a counseling appointment? What that says something. The online entertainment business is booming. Booming. The video game industry, booming. Amusement park. You know what? I heard an interesting thing about amusement parks. So usually, especially in Orlando, the amusement parks in Orlando, they go in seasons where it's busy seasons, and they don't have any light seasons anymore. They're not even sure what that's all about, right? And we can say maybe it's because that we weren't allowed to go and people weren't allowed to go. I think it's a lot deeper than that. People are looking for escape. People are desperate for relief. Right? So we can do one of two things. We can find relief like the other club does, or we can find relief like God tells us to find relief. And many of us are not finding relief. We're trying to do it this way. And let me just say, I'm all about amusement parks. I think they're great. Me and Wesley just, we got back for a father-son trip. We went down to, a while back ago, we went down to, where did we go? Universal. There you are. And we rode this crazy roller coaster. I made the huge, let me just say, if you haven't ridden a roller coaster lately, and you decide that you're going to be, that I'm 50, and things are not, I mean, in my head, I'm not. We got up early. We were able to get in the park early, and we were like one of the first people. What's that? We're like 8 in the morning. I'm riding the Velocicoaster at 8:30 in the morning with literally coffee and a donut that I ate. Man, my knees. I'm all about it. I mean, you know, after a few hours left, after I need to recover, and to my, let me just say, Wesley's knees were knocking too. Just want to say, just because it was just, that was the most intense roller coaster I've ever been on in my life. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, go do it. But anyway, what do I have to do with anything? Oh, yeah. But let me just say this. I think it's further in my notes. But there's a difference between relaxing. Hear me. And refueling. There is a difference between relaxing, doing things that relax you. And let me use this word. This is a word I'd rather use. Replenishing. Replenishing. There's a difference. Let me just say, the other clubs, they know the relaxing. They don't know the replenishing. You and I have opportunity, and we can tap into the replenishing power of God. Hear me. It is available for you. Remember, this is all wrapped into this supernatural series. This is where some of us need to step out and start walking in supernatural. There is supernatural replenishment for you. And supernatural. Rest. I'm relaxed. Please. Don't overwork yourself. Absolutely. Rest. Have fun. Do stuff. But understand, give it that its place. That its place is you're resting your body. You're not replenishing. You're not replenishing. And understand, when you're not replenished, when you're not full, and let me just step way ahead to where I'm going. When you're not spending time with your God, the things of the world will start creeping in to you. Why do we see ungodly things creeping into the church? You know why? We're not in the Word. And we've allowed the things of the world to creep in, and thoughts, morals, of all those things into the world, into the church. When we should have said, hey, we're the church. Keep your pins over there. Now, do we accept everybody? 100%. Jesus, it is all welcome. Right? And is there a process in our growth? 100%. Right? There is a process of growth. Do we accept everybody? Yep, 100%. But when you're in, that's why, guys, listen. There's so much. I'm not even going to look at Jessica because she's going to stay on target. But listen. I forgot what I was going to say. That's probably the Lord. Stay on target. So, I'll just say this. We're going to step on your feet a little bit longer. So then we talk about, well, you're talking about now you're going to start having our quiet time. I heard this. Somebody said this the other day. They said, I feel like if I add my quiet time, that's one more thing I need to add. It's one more thing I need to add in my life. You're like, I'm already up to here with stuff. How am I going to add quiet time? Let's talk about cell phones a minute. You know, most people pick up, you know what's great about cell phone? You pick on cell phone, you know, because all of these stats are correct. You know why? Because they track you. You want to know how they know this is accurate? They know. If they know what you say, they know how much time. That's another thing. Anyway, most mobile phones users check their phone 63 times a day. The average, I know, it's easy. Let me just say, okay, yeah, cell phones are easy pickings, but it's true. Americans spend on average a time of 5.5 hours on their mobile phone every day. Social media is responsible for 2 hours and 24 minutes of the global internet time spent online by the average user. 2 hours. 13% of millennials, spend over 12 hours on their phone daily. 13% of millennials spend over 12 hours on their phone daily. And you're like, get them. Get those millennials. All right, baby boomers. You average. That's only 13% of the millennials. Baby boomers, you average. Notice I didn't say anything about Xers. Perfect in every way. Baby boomers, you spend 5 hours on your phones every day. I am out, pray, worship team, come up. Oh my goodness. I'm done. I am so done. Oh, if you didn't hear that online, somebody in a congregation said, that's because it takes us longer to do anything. Whatever. Okay. Whatever makes you feel good, boomer. Anyway, all right. No more cell phones. Oh my gosh. I am so done. Can we pray again? I just need to reset. That's right, reset. Oh my goodness. I don't even know where to go from there. That's okay. That's so funny. You know what? One of our foundational pillars of this church is fun. We can't have fun. Oh my goodness. That's so funny. Well placed. Great. Again. All right. We are not of this world. We are a part of a different kingdom founded on faith in Jesus. That is who we are. And this is who we are. This is our club. And we're staying in our club. We're staying in who we are. And one of the things of who we are is we find our strength and our hope in Him, not in other things. And so, John chapter 15, Jesus discusses this. John chapter 15 and verse 4, Jesus says, remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. So in many circles, we have relegated this idea of remaining in God to being saved. Well, I'm saved. I'm in Jesus. Well, I'm just saved. I'm in Jesus. You understand, Jesus is talking a lot more than just being saved, right? He's talking about your life, your strength. He's using the example of a vine and branches, right? That the vine, that the branches receive the nutrients from the vine. It says, if you don't remain in me, right? We've seen, like this week, you probably had all the storms at our house this week. You probably have branches. If you have your yard, you have branches down in your yard, right? And they're green. And now they're not anymore. They're still laying in some of our yards and they're turning brown, right? Because they're not connected to the tree anymore. That is exactly what happens to us. We start you start deteriorating, right? You start losing your strength. I heard a guy, he said this. He was speaking on distractions. And he said this, because we are distracted. This is a symptom of being distracted by other things, right? Really, that's what a lot of what I'm talking about is being distracted by other things. He said this. He says, people who are successful, and this is kind of across the board too. People who are successful don't allow the distractions to dictate their lives. They take ownership of their life. And they, regardless of the distractions, move forward to where they need to move forward in. Too many believers were allowing the distractions to dictate where we go. And allowing the distractions to dictate, now this is what I'm going to be thinking about the rest of the day. Well, this new news report's coming out. I need to be thinking about this. I need to be talking about it all the time. Or this whatever comes up. The stuff going on at work. Well, isn't it? But it's what I need to be worried about right now. I need to be all thinking about it all the time. And it's falling all over my mind. I'm thinking about it some more. And then I'm going to react. And I'm going to talk. I'm going to post something. And then I'm going to talk about this. And then we'll talk to my friend about it. Right? And you're allowing, watch, listen. You're allowing the distraction to dictate what you do. We are laser focused in this grilling club to be better grillers, stronger grillers, tastier grillers, producing amazing food so that other people can come and eat. We have a banquet that we're preparing for people to come and say, listen, don't be distracted by the stuff of the world. There's no life in it. I believe we need to get back to old school preaching. There's no life in the way the world does things. Life is found in the person of Jesus. And it's not just praying a prayer. It's submitting your life to Him. Too many people just pray to prayer. I'm in. I got my ticket. I don't know why I don't have life. You've missed the submitting my life to Him. I've given my life over to Him. So here's the hard truth. The hard truth is this. I'll put it on the screen. You are as close to God as you choose to be. But I got this going on. You don't understand. I got this going on. I got this one going on. That's never not true. Jesus said, just come to me, all who are weary. Come to me. That's an invitation. That's not a forced thing. Jesus is not grabbing anybody by the hand. Go, come on. No, stop pulling. No, come on. Jesus says, come. Now, some of you felt like God was pulling you. So, we're going to do away with the idea of relaxing equals replenishment. And we're going to do things the way God tells us to do. And so it comes down to this. It's your daily time with God. Your daily time with God. Ask any minister who's ever fallen. Ask any person. I would dare say the person who deconstructed his faith and left the faith, I would really like to dive into their personal private time with God. Because that's where the life is. That's where the power is. See, you can question the things of your faith as long as you're attached to the person who gives life. That's a safe place. I am in Him. I love Jesus. I'm reminded of the person that Billy Graham talked to. There's a minister friend that left the faith. And Billy Graham was talking to him on his deathbed. And he goes up to him and he goes, Billy Graham, he was just trying to minister to him. He says, what do you like, are you still like there? He goes, you know what? He goes, yeah, I don't know about all of it. He says, but you know what? He goes, I miss him. He said, I miss him. As a person who walked away from the faith, there was something that drew him in his heart. And it wasn't about the religion and the doing and the, it was, I miss him. I miss him. So how do we do this? It's either, it's one of these two things, right? It's either we know what to do and we don't do it, or it's we don't know what to do. And let me just say, I understand both of those. But it's worth the fight for it. So what does that look like? What does your daily time with God look like? And I know what we say, we throw it out there and go, just whatever you want it to look like. Ish, right? Like, what I like to do is I like to sit in nature and just think about the trees and the beautiful flowers. No, I like to do that too. But you know what I also do? Man, God made that. God, you made that for me. God, you did that for me. God, you knew like I would love water. Like you created something in my soul that, and I'm, when I'm really in a fish or something about like, it's your pleasure on me. Or just when I'm out in the, and it's just me and him, right? So I was about to make myself really happy thinking about that. It's the catching that's the problem. It's the, you know, fishing is one thing. It's really better when you're catching. So let me just give you some help. So in your daily time with God, find somewhere. You're like, I don't have a where. What do you mean? There's not a some or a where. There's no somewhere. You got to find somewhere. Find somewhere to be unavailable, undistracted, personal and private. You're like, I got kids, I got children. We have those, and you just find time to do it. You do just find time to do it. You have to find time to do it. You either get up early, but get up early. Yeah, get up early. Most of the time that people spend on their phones and on tablets are at night, till like 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. Be available, be unavailable, undistracted, and personal and private. Like, it's worth finding. It's worth the effort. It's worth the choice. It's worth to do whatever you got to do. Listen, if your kids are young, you're putting your kids down for a nap. You go, this is my time. They better not wake up. God, don't let them wake up in Jesus' name. And if they wake up, I bind that devil in Jesus' name. I woke up my kid. Right? You fight for it. This is my time with God. I don't just want this time. I need this not time. Because this world is crazy. I need some clarity, some sanity, some strength. What's worked for me is my porch, my room. Here's a radical one. Your car at lunch. That used to be my favorite place. I just, you know, maybe you tell your family, hey, Mom's got to go to the store. You need to watch the family and just go to a park and just sit in your car and spend time with God. Like, fight for it. Fight for it. As many times I'm in the Word at lunch. I'm in the Word at lunch, reading my Bible. I find a park, shut everything off. I'm that weird person that's in the park reading his Bible in a parking lot. That was me. Whatever it takes. What should a quiet time consist of? Let me just tell you. Let me help you. Spend some time in the Word. Spend some time in the Word. The Word is like our bylaws, right? In our club. Yeah, kind of. But the Word keeps us, right? It inspires us and strengthens us. Bible reading. Some worship. What does that look like? Like, call up Jessica. Hey, Jessica, can you get your guitar available? Yeah, you just, man, that worthy song, could you just do that, man? I minister to me. No, no. All, let me just tell you, let me help you. Worship, you don't need just songs, right? You don't need them. Like, worship is simply acknowledging the good. Take some time to acknowledge the goodness of God in your life. Acknowledge Him, right? Ask Him things. Ask Him things. Pray for other people. Like, if you just do those things and you're like, I don't have time. I give you 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. Put a timer. I don't care. Do something. Like, something is better than nothing, right? You have to start somewhere. Or you have to, some of us need to restart somewhere. And then, so if you do your 5 minutes, so you do your 10 minutes. Don't let that be the one and done. This is where I missed it early on in my walk with God. As I thought, like, oh, that's my time with God. Right there, right there, right there. That's a 10 minutes with God, right? That's about 10 minutes with God. The rest of the day, I'm going to live off that 10 minutes. That is not the way you're supposed to live. You know what you can do? You can acknowledge that 10 minutes all day long. Maybe God spoke to you something in the Word. Pull that memory back up in your mind. In your, whatever you're doing. There's a ministry, and what they do is across the board. I know you don't do this in your, you know, wherever you work, or they do a thing called 10 and 2. Every day at 10 and 2, they take a 2 minute pause, just shut everything down, take 2 minutes, and replenish yourself with the presence of God. You can do that. That's doable. So what are you doing? You're entering in God. Not just that morning time, or not just that night time, or not the afternoon time you spent with the Lord. What you're doing is you're constantly filling yourself up. You're reminding yourself of your goodness of God. You're reminding yourself, hey, I'm not of this world. People are nuts. People are crazy. I thank you, God, that I belong to your kingdom. God, I thank you that you love me with everlasting love. God, I thank you, God. And oh yeah, God, I know you called me to live holy before you. God, yeah, just continue to give me strength today. Can we continue not to, because I was about to go off on that coworker, but God, I pray you would just help me. In Jesus' name, I need your strength, your power. And let me make a challenge before we're done. Because I know that a lot of us like to do devotionals, and I'm all about devotionals. Devotionals are great. There's a bunch of great men and women of God who write amazing things. So for you, if you're doing that already, if you're not doing it, I'd say start there. That's perfect. But if you're doing that already, I challenge you to go to the next level and say, I'm going to put away some devotionals for a while. I'm just going to open the Word. And as I read, God, what would you have to say to me right now in this moment? What do you have? Like, and what you're looking for is personal, timely words from the Lord in your quiet time, just you and Him. Because that'll be the thing that strengthens you. That'll be the thing. Listen, I remember there were so many times in my life where, man, I said, God, I don't even know that I want to continue. I don't even know that I want to go. But if you just speak to me, I'll do it. Whatever you ask me to do, I'll do it. Right? And I remember in my quiet time, I said, God, what do you want me to do? And God would give me that answer and say, this is what I want you to do. And this is the strength I'm going to give you to do it. And now I'm like, I'm good. I have a word from the Lord of what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm good. That means if God spoke to me that, I can do whatever He's told me I can do. Like, I don't know if you know, I actually believe what I say when I say I can do what God says I can do. I can overcome whatever God asks me to overcome. Every difficulty, God will give me the strength to overcome it when He asks me to do it. I can do it. Because I have the strength, His strength, to do it. Amen? Let's all stand together. Jessica, you want to come back? Practical. Listen. I mean, this is not this side of the room. It's just my example. We're not in this club. Right? I mean, I love you guys. We are part of the kingdom of God. Bought and paid for by His blood. Redeemed. And given an offer to come to him and find strength. The people who put their hope and their strength in man's flesh, whether that's somebody else or whether that's you, you're going to dry up in this world. But God hadn't called us to dry up. He's called us to bear fruit, even when it's hard. Even when you're the only one, you feel like you're it. Everybody else is falling away. Everybody else is not following God. Everybody else is doing their own thing. But no. I'm still going to bear fruit because listen to this. So when you spend that time with God, you know what's happening? Is that scripture says, and the roots head towards the streams. Let your roots head towards the water. Close your eyes. Aren't we? What is the sing this chord? Listen, He is the mighty one. And you can tap in. Come on, let's just worship. Mighty.